My name is Lauren Dayu. I've been a member of Calvary for a little over 2 years now. I'm originally from Mesquite, Texas, which is a suburb just outside of Dallas. I work in politics, and I'm currently the communications director on a lieutenant governor's race in Virginia, and I'm really excited to share my story with you today. My faith has been an important factor for my entire life. Granted, today it looks really different than it has in the past. I was raised in a church where women were not allowed to speak from the pulpit. Young women were told that our highest priority should always be our future family, and I was to submit to my husband, whomever he may be, without question. And while it was never something I was truly comfortable with, I believe this was the life God wanted for me. I was told that the questions that kept me up at night, the gnawing fear of having a husband that wouldn't respect me, the ambitions that sometimes I couldn't even say out loud because they felt too big, were the results of the curse of woman. I wanted those things because as a woman, I was cursed with the desire to feel equal to men, and that was the direct result of Satan because that wasn't the role God had in mind. Pair that with 10 years of public education that was constructed to teach me that my black skin didn't really matter, and that if I did manage to be successful, it was because I followed the rules, because I did what I was supposed to do, because I shined just enough to get attention, but not enough to intimidate white people, because I spoke well enough to convey my position, but not to speak truth to power. And more than anything, they isolated me by ensuring that I felt like an anomaly. Teachers and peers crafted a narrative that black people were stupid, but Lauren was smart. That black people were lazy, but Lauren was hardworking. And while I knew they were wrong, I also had nowhere to go with my questions about race and gender and faith, and why in my world they couldn't quite seem to work together. And so daily, I operated between two worlds that smiled in my face as they taught me to hate myself and people who look like me, spoon-feeding me white supremacy and misogyny, all cloaked as the word of God and as God's plan for my life. It took going to college 800 miles from home, in the birthplace of Black Girl Magic, in order to rewire my brain into loving my blackness and loving my womanhood. It took hundreds of women who looked like me, loving me, challenging me, affirming me, and correcting me to realize how wrong I had been. Being a black woman is the greatest asset God could have given me, and I thank God every day for that opportunity. Grounding myself in the knowledge of who I am and where I come from, regardless of what comes my way, has been one of the most freeing experiences I've ever had, and has made God more real to me in the last 5 years of my life than any time before. So, I say all of that to say that if you had told me 10 years ago that by 25 I would be married to a man who has no real interest in my submission, attending a church with two women pastors who are married to each other, and feel as at home in my 3 years in Washington, D.C. as I did in my 18 years in Mesquite, Texas, I wouldn't have believed you. But nonetheless, here we are, because God has plans that are bigger than our own, and her love, grace, and mercy actually does exceedingly abundantly beyond all we could ask or think. I've always felt a strong connection to the Book of Esther. Even as a child, I think I've always known that deep down, we're supposed to speak for people who can't do it for themselves. Today, in our political climate, I'm constantly reminded of the story of Esther as it relates to my own. While under different circumstances, both of our journeys and God's purpose for our lives included a journey far from home in order for our faith to become real and put into action. And both of our stories show women in societies that don't view them as valuable, fighting for the marginalized, oppressed, and forgotten. And while there's much to talk about in the story of Esther, I want to leave you with this. When Mordecai comes to Esther and asks her to speak to the king on behalf of her people, Esther is full of excuses. What Mordecai says to her is, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for God's people will arise from another place. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this?" Simply put, it's not about you. The will of God will be done whether you play your role or not. But know this. God has elevated you to this position because times like this will come, and she put you here for this reason. It's important to remember that God puts us in places for a reason, and those reasons are always bigger than ourselves. The notion of something bigger than me is what I take with me into meetings where I'm the only person who looks like me. It's what I remember when the breaking news on CNN makes my heart sink with whatever 45 has tried to do that day. And while whatever he's doing may not affect me directly, I'm not here for me. I'm here representing people who may never get the opportunity to have their story told. I'm here for little black girls across the country trying to figure out what it all means. I'm here for women who feel like in order to serve God, they have to make themselves small. I'm here for anyone who feels like the gospel of Jesus Christ is in direct contradiction to their existence. Yes. God has been co-opted and misused and weaponized by so many. And honestly, I just refuse to stand for it any longer. Amen. I believe that God put me here for such a time as this, and I plan on doing whatever I can to stand for a God that I recognize, as opposed to the white supremacist, sexist, homophobic, capitalist one on display. We serve a God who put us here, in this city, for such a time as this, and I pray that we act accordingly. Thank you. Amen.